During my visit to Napa Valley in November of 2009, I visited the Chimney Rock Winery for a special interview on a special night. Grammy Award-winning cellist Sarah Santambrogio had teamed with Chimney Rock winemaker Elizabeth Viana on a special recording project fusing the passion of wine with music. And Sarah was at the winery to perform a brief concert for the wine club members. I was able to record a short interview with Elizabeth just before the concert, as well as recording a few moments with Sarah afterward. And of course, we tasted as we talked.
So what you're drinking there is our 2007 Stag's Leap District Cab, which is not yet released, so we're giving you a little preview of the vintage, which is a really beautiful vintage, actually.
It's yummy. Yeah. Very nice. A lot of talk about 2007, it seems.
Yeah, I think it's very, very promising.
You agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, you know what? We've kind of had a string of good vintages. I think 04 through, and I'll knock on wood about 09 because it's young yet, but I think the fruit's beautiful. There's really small berries. We had nice dry spring. It was a little bit of a challenging harvest just because we had some rain, which is not something we normally deal with, but nothing Cabernet can't survive, so.
Oh, yeah.
I think 07 and 08 are extraordinary. Those might be two of my favorite recent vintages.
When we got here tonight, the first thing you said to me is, do I know about the event? And I'm going to go ahead and say yes. Or rather, why don't you go ahead and tell me all about the event?
Okay, so this event is actually for the Chimney Rock Club members, and we've got about 4,000 club members who are very loyal customers, and we have a traditional yearly harvest dinner, which we throw as sort of a celebration of the end of harvest, and it's usually a dinner with some music and trying some great wines, of course. This year, we've got a couple of extra special things going on. For one, it's the 25th anniversary of Chimney Rock Wines. The first vintage was 1984, so that's sort of a theme. But secondly, Sarah Santambrogio, who's a good friend and, you know, very famous cellist, we did a joint venture this year where we sort of paired the idea of the release of her recording of the Bach cello suites with the release of our 2007 Élevage Blanc. We thought there were a lot of parallels, and it was something that sort of struck us in a conversation over a glass of wine about a year ago, sort of parallels of artistry between music and wine, and what a great idea it would be to combine the two as an event. And so what we did was we did a couple of different concerts and fundraisers for some charitable organization. So we did a party in New York and raised some money for Donna Karen's Urban Zen Foundation, which was fantastic. And, you know, poured our wine. She played, and she played Bach, of course. She does this great sort of explanation of the different suites. She's very articulate and very charming. So it was sort of a wine and music show, if you will. And then we did a second one in Chicago. We raised money for WFMT, the public radio station, classical radio station, and TV stations there. And the same thing, we did it at Tangley Oaks, which is Mr. Torlato's, you know, palatial offices there. It's a beautiful place. And, you know, she played, we probably had about 80 folks who came from, who were mainly supporters for the radio and TV stations. And same thing again, poured some wines, and it's kind of magical. You know, you put Bach and Stag's Leap District Cab or our Élevage Blanc, which is, I think, very sort of elegant, lush wine, and it's kind of a good pairing. So it was kind of a fun, you know, a little bit creative, I think, in concept, but really interesting, I think, to the public. So
now, you're obviously not going to have 4,000 people show up here tonight, I assume?
No, so today we just have about 50 club members coming to dinner. I really wanted to bring a little bit of the magic of Sarah to our club members since that was something that, you know, they had sort of missed out on. So she agreed to come out, and she's just going to do like a 20-minute short performance, little Bach, you know, sort of a musical hors d'oeuvre, if you will. And we'll pair it with our Élevage Blanc, so people will be drinking the Élevage Blanc and listening to her music, and it's just the beginning of a great evening, I think.
How many female winemakers would you guess there are in the Napa area? I'm kind of curious about that.
You know, it's really absurd that we don't know that figure. I certainly think that it's no longer an abnormal or shocking thing. I think there are a lot of women. In fact, in my class at Davis, when I got my graduate degree, it was half women, half men. So 12 grad students, 6 women, 6 men. I don't think the rate of women winemakers out there is that high, 50% in the industry. There's certainly a lot of female enologists and assistant winemakers. I've heard a rate of 15% in the state of California. I think in Napa it might be higher, is my impression, but it's not uncommon. I think, you know, women like Donine Dyer at Domaine Chandon and Zelma Long really paved the way for women probably about 20 years ago. So I think for my generation of women winemakers, it's really no big deal.
Specifically, I don't know, do you have a philosophy or how you go about when you make your wine, what you're aiming for?
Yeah, definitely. You know, being an estate-grown winery, so we grow all of our grapes. We have 100 acres here in the Stag's Leap District, a little bit over 100. We have Cabernet, Merlot, Cab Franc, Petit Verdot. We're dedicated to Bordeaux varieties. I think our greatest goal is to represent what the fruit of Stag's Leap District is like and letting it do its thing. So I think less is more. We do most of our work in the vineyard. We're trying to grow the absolute best fruit we can so that when we get to the winery, there really isn't that much that you have to do. So I think the focus is really in the farming part and, you know, trying to maximize quality through techniques like deficit irrigation and cover crop use to sort of reduce berry size, increase concentration, those kinds of things. So our focus is on farming. And then I think in terms of the style of the wines, it's a definitely more elegant style. We think that wine should be for the table and food friendly and not overpower food. And we think about it as something that should elevate food and complement food. I think we really focus on that. So for example, when we're blending, we will take blends home and try them with food. And if it doesn't work, that's key. That's really sort of one of the most important things.
Now I'm going to assume before you started school, somewhere along the line, wine worked its way into your head.
Right.
Was there a particular moment, or were you always a wine lover?
No, you know, I certainly drank wine in college, but I was pre-med at Vassar, and I was going to go to med school, had a very set track, you know, did an internship in college and pediatric oncology at Mount Sinai in New York, and thought I was very well decided in my field. And after college, moved to New York, decided to take a little hiatus before I went to med school and worked in a clinical lab there for several years. Well, what was supposed to be 1 year became 2 years, became 7 years of New York City living. And in that process, in that time, I really sort of fell in love with wine because, you know, New York's a great wine town. There was a moment that was sort of critical. I went to this pre-auction tasting at Christie's, and Christian Moex was there, and he talked about having gone to Davis, UC Davis, to the Enology program, and that had never occurred to me, and I thought, wow. As it turns out, I had all the requirements that I needed for that kind of program, because, you know, it was all sciences, physics, math, chemistry, so I went out on a limb and applied and got in, and it was a very sudden change. I think my family and friends were taken aback. They thought I'd lost my mind. There was a bit of an intervention attempt, and it just turned out to be the right thing. It's just wine works itself, I think, into people's lives that way. Most people aren't born into wine families, and it's one of those things that strikes your passion and you just sort of run with it. So, and Chimney Rock is, you know, sort of a winemaker's dream come true, to be honest. I mean, the vineyards are stunning. We have really great support from ownership. The Trelato family really understands what it means to produce wines that are 100% good qualities.
Do you feel that in terms of the wine you're making here to some degree that you're controlling your own destiny then?
Absolutely. Now, of course, you know, winemaking is never a solo endeavor, and it shouldn't be. I think any winemaker who gets to the place where they don't need anybody else's input, it should be a collective process, and we're only as good as our last vineyard guy and our guys in the cellar. So it's a team here. Doug Fletcher, who's the vice president of winemaking, is certainly involved in, you know, some of the blending decisions and approving, and I have an assistant, and I think it really is important, and you want to bounce ideas around, and even when, you know, I'm deciding when to pick fruit, I'll sometimes be like, Doug, come out, I want your insight. And it's really nice to have that sort of dialogue. So, but I think as far as, you know, saying, well, I think this is good and this makes a good vineyard designate, I think the Trelatos are very much, you know, they're really not involved in the immediate decisions. They trust us to make quality products.
I've asked everybody I've talked to in the business this question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you prefer corks versus screw caps? Do you have an opinion on that?
You know, it's early to say on screw caps just in terms of ageability. I think that for whites that are soon to drink, not a bad option at all. We're not using them here at Chimney Rock. We have a pretty sort of strict, you know, way of determining which corks we're going to use. And, you know, so far it's been okay. You know, Doug Fletcher and I probably sit just a little bit on the edge of this issue where I feel a little psychologically attached to corks. And, you know, it's silly, really, because, again, you know, when you go to any other industry, 3-5% rejection in a product is not okay. What I think the screw cap presents is a whole nother set of variables of aging. And we're seeing that already in that, you know, some of the closures cause reduction in the bottle. So it's a different animal entire. And our history of wine is based on wines aging on cork. So I think it's to be explored. I think it's early to say, yeah, this is going to be great for red wines that are going to age for 20 years. I don't know the answer to those questions. And I think as a winemaker, I'm certainly open. And I'm going to read the papers. I'm going to taste trials that friends have. And I think it's a path to explore without question.
Have you seen the glass enclosures at all?
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
I haven't really been impressed with the ones that I did try. I tried a couple of trials, but I probably haven't looked into it with enough attention to knock it, I would say. I've looked closer at screw caps, and I kind of think that's, you know, even though it's not quite as classy as the idea of the, you know, the glass stopper, I think it might be a better direction.
Anybody who drinks wine, especially California wine, is familiar with the Stag's Leap appellation. Do you think this is a special area?
You know, I think it'd be fun at some point. It's always interesting to me, the question of appellations in Napa is one that's always interesting and people are curious about, you know, is Stag's Leap District, is there a there? And after working in this appellation for this many years, I think there is. And I think that's an interesting thing to point out to people, you know, that there are a lot of different soils and appellations in Napa, and that people should explore them as consumers. It's an interesting aspect.
How can people learn more about Chimney Rock?
ChimneyRock.com. It's all there.
Elizabeth, I appreciate you have a very busy night ahead of you, and I think it's going to be a great time. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for coming out and seeing us, and we welcome everybody out to Chimney Rock to taste some of our wines.